The quick Easter quiz, I say, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Ooh, you're
Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Boy, it's nice to say that without getting in trouble, huh? Hallelujah. Well, many moons ago, I was young, and a great many. And in my early years of my ministry, I was in a small church down in Georgia, and there were 8 Lutheran churches in that county. And so every summer, when it was time to do that dreaded thing called Vacation Bible School, we all did it together. All 8 churches would get a camp, and hundreds of kids would show up, and it was really a great time. And the year I'm thinking of, the curriculum the kids had was looking at the church year. They were going to spend a week going through the church year. You know, and on certain days, when they whatever day they were on or whatever season they were on, they would have some kind of a celebration, be it Christmas or Easter, as we moved through. But what I remember most about it was the closing assembly that they had, because the senior high had put together this giant board on the wall of Jeopardy. And it was all of all of the answers, of course, were from that week. Things that the children had studied, and it was the children against their parents. And of course, the children did actually win because it was fresh in their minds. But I remember the very first question. The category was Holy Days, and they asked our Alex Trebek for that category, and the answer was, it was empty on Sunday morning. And there was a pause as people contemplated their answers. And some pastor who happened to be there blurted out an answer. What was the front row? I know you think it was me, but it wasn't. I was just as stunned because I had another answer. What was the offering plate? And I didn't even get mine out. Of course, the answer is, what is the tomb of Christ? Today in our Lenten journey, which has come to an end, we come to an empty tomb. When you read all 4 of the gospel accounts of the resurrection, there are some details that are a little different. Some of them have 1 angel, some have 2. 1 angel sits on a stone. Some of them have folded grave clothes, which insinuates Jesus listened to his mother Mary and folded things neatly when he got up. One thing they all agree on, the tomb was empty. It was empty. Now, ordinarily, empty implies something negative. Like when your fuel gauge is on empty, your bank account is empty, you're running on empty. Empty, just, there's nothing there. But on this occasion, the being empty is the core of the good news. It's good news. The tomb is empty. In fact, that's the greatest news ever. The tomb is empty because Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Boy, on Easter you do that just to make sure people will follow you. Now, you may have noticed in the gospel reading tonight there were no post-resurrection appearances. Just the witness of an empty tomb. Those appearances will come later. In the morning, Jesus appears to Mary. The afternoon, he walks with 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. That evening, he meets all the disciples in the upper room. But right now, all we have is that empty tomb. And millions visit it. It's at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Have any of you been there? Next time you go, it'll be easier to see. I'll tell you why. This. Have any of you seen it in the news in the last few weeks? Or have you been following that story? Tomb of Jesus reopens to public after a $3 million restoration project. And in this article from the New York Times, it talks about all the things they did. It talks about how the tomb was, as it exists now, was the parts around it were constructed by Constantine in the 4th century. And there were some issues of the integrity of the building. And they've straightened all that out. But and you'd be surprised who some of the people were that gave money. King Abdullah II of Jordan gave money for the project. So, but this was the most interesting thing, I thought. At the end, the last sentence that we're talking about, it's the very end of the sentence talking about what they did. They removed a stone slab covering the marble bench on which Jesus' body lay. And the team also created an opening in the wall of the tomb so that visitors can peer in. And I thought, how many tombs get a window? I mean, really? But it made me think, thinking about a window in the tomb made me think, why was the stone rolled away? When they got there in the morning, whether it was Mary or whether it's Mary and other people who were with her, when they got there, why was the stone rolled away? You know, I thought back. Didn't you see the movie The Passion of the Christ? In The Passion of the Christ, there at the end, the whole screen's dark, and you hear this rumbling sound, and the stone rolls away, and Jesus is standing there, and it was really cool. You could see through his hand, you know, the hole in his hand, and he stood there, and then he walked out. And as I thought about that, I thought it's kind of like us waiting for an elevator door to open, you know? Then we go. But you know, from all the resurrection stories that day, the stone did not have to be rolled away for Jesus to get out. That's not why the stone... Oh, good, I can leave now. He can show up in rooms. He can vanish from sight just like that. His resurrection body is different. But it was not necessary for the stone to be rolled away in order for Jesus to get out. And by the way, on the restoration, another thing I wanted to say is that I have it from the highest authority that even though Jesus appreciated the work, he said he's not going to need it. The restoration wasn't necessary because this was a resurrection, not a resuscitation, as Father Bill told us just a few weeks ago. Christ is risen, as you just heard a moment ago from Romans, never to die again.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Lord is
risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Thanks for being there. So, why was the stone rolled away? It's not for Jesus to get out. It's for us to look in. It's for us to look in and see that the tomb is empty. It's for us. It wasn't for Christ. And what do we see when we look in? We don't just see that things are neatly folded and put away. And we don't just see empty space. I think there are a lot of things that we see when we look in. Those of us who were baptized, because we were baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see something quite different than most folk would see. We see the fulfillment of that baptism. You heard these words. Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? We were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, for the glory of the Father, we too might have new life. When we look into the tomb, we see new life. Our new life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly, Paul says, be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We see our folded grave clothes. We see our empty tomb when we look into the tomb of Jesus. It's a promise. But the empty tomb is more than just the assurance of our eternal life. It's more than just the validation of our eternal fire insurance plan. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to burn. I'm baptized into the life. It's a lot more than that. When you see the empty tomb, it means that every promise that Jesus made has been validated. Every promise. Think about that for a minute. There are a lot of them. And so now I'm going to spend the rest of the evening.
I'll make it to midnight.
Yeah, okay. No problem. There are plenty of promises. I'm just going to look at a couple. Or four. Or so. That's one of the great things about preaching. You get to look at the ones you like best. And the first one I turned to, because I've loved this verse since I was a child, John 10:10. A lot of people know it without looking. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Life to the full. A meaningful, purposeful life. Now, if you're amongst those who are baptized and you're looking into the tomb and you realize this, what is the abundant life? What could it be other than ministry in the name of Jesus Christ? What could it be other than walking and talking with Christ day in and day out and staying within the will of God as best you can in that walk with Christ? How much more abundant could life be than that? So when we look into the empty tomb, we don't just see an empty tomb, we see the new life that's promised to us all, and we see the new life for now in our abundant life as we walk and minister in Christ's name now. And since I was in John, look at John 15. This again will be a familiar verse to you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do remain in me, you are like a branch. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and picked up, thrown into a fire and burned. But if you remain in my words, and I remain in you, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. It will be done for you. Hi. Yeah. I like that promise too. We have that connection with Jesus Christ, where Christ, we're grafted into the vine. Christ flows through us. I think it's great, Will. Christ flows through us just as that life-giving energy and sap flows through any plant. We're grafted into Christ. And then we have that promise that if we are, whatever we ask will be done. So when we look into the tomb, we also see that communion with Christ, where we are one with Him and He is one with us, just as He is one with the Father. And we see the answer to prayer. Another promise This is a favorite amongst those who happen to be charismatic, I being among them. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. This is from Luke 24. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. How many of you have been clothed with power from on high? Yes. If there's no empty tomb, that's not possible. When we look into the empty tomb, we see the fulfillment of that promise. We hear the gift of prophecy. We experience the gift of healing, the gift of tongues. We hear preaching. We hear teaching. All the promised gifts of the Spirit because of the empty tomb. If Christ is not raised, none of this is true. And this is my favorite because I heard it was Bishop Jones' favorite verse. And in fact, I think all of these are from it, yeah. From John 14, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it." Now that's a promise. That is a powerful promise. Clothed with the power from on high, with Christ dwelling within us, we continue His ministry in great power. Not of our own, but the power of God within us. There are signs and wonders. There are signs and wonders. And so, really, when you look into the empty tomb, is it really empty? It seems to be full of an awful lot of stuff when you start looking at it. There's a lot of stuff from that empty tomb. If there is no empty tomb, then we have... there is no Christianity. There are some people who will say, "Well, you know, I think I believe in a spiritual resurrection where the Spirit of Jesus went back to His Father." If that's true, we're all still lost in our sin. The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. And we'll, not tomorrow, but Sunday, 1 week from tomorrow, when we talk about Thomas, we'll talk about things that how people explain away these kinds of things and how they give in to their doubts. Hence the name Doubting Thomas. So be sure to tune in for that exciting episode. But the empty tomb of Jesus is really full. And what I think it's full of is it's full of victory. If I had to pick one word, that's the one I'm picking. Victory. Death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? They're gone. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is what makes life for us possible. And yet, many people don't want to live in the victory. Many Christians act as though there is no victory. But the truth is, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
So this Easter season, I challenge you, don't just celebrate the historical fact that Christ rose, and if there was an empty tomb that day, celebrate the victory by living the victory. Take the promises of the empty tomb and make them your own. Live Easter. Don't just celebrate Easter. Because Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.